your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Canadian country singer, entertainer, and legend Carole Baker was born in Nova Scotia. In 1965, Carole, her mother, and father moved to Oakville, Ontario, and a few years later, she was married. The newlyweds were invited to go to a bar in Oakville called the Halton Hotel, where one of her friends told the band that Carole was a singer and they should get her up to do a song. Carole had no idea about this. She heard her name, and she went up, and she was speechless and nervous, of course, and potentially underage, but her husband encouraged her, so she accepted the invitation and went on to sing Stand By Your Man for the crowd, and the rest, as they say, is history. Carole has shared the stage and duets with country legends Conway Twitty and Hank Snow, among others. She's won 3 Junos for Country Female Vocalist of the Year and is a member of the Canadian Country Music Hall of Fame, as well as the Nova Scotia Country Music Hall of Fame. Now, this introduction could take up half the show, so let's bring her on to share her stories. And, of course, we have some great songs from her as well. My pleasure now to welcome Carole Baker. Hi, Carole.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, if I was any better, I couldn't stand it.
Well, it is so awesome to have you here. We've been in touch online on Facebook, and now we've finally connected and have you on the show. And I know we've got a lot of your fans listening, not just from the Ontario area where we're broadcasting from, but all across Canada, because you have a lot of fans throughout the whole country.
I have. I've been very, very lucky. But, you know, the truth is I've been doing this for a long, long time, so you can have been doing this for as long as I've been doing it without having made some fans. And I'm fortunate that I've had quite a few. And the real funny part of it is I don't feel like they're my fans anymore. They're like my friends. Because when I do concerts, I see the same faces over and over again. And that is the most reassuring thing that I think any entertainer can get, because you know you've got the faithfulness from your fans, because if it's a fickle thing, it doesn't last. My fans are just so faithful, it amazes me. I'm blown away all the time.
I think that's really amazing that it's got to that point. And, I mean, singers and songs like you sing are ones that people, of course, love and listen to again and again. And a lot of your songs, I'm sure, have gotten people through tough times. You probably heard stories over the years, Carol, about songs like perhaps One Is One Too Many for people suffering alcoholism or even people, you know, related by that affliction. Can you share some of those stories?
Yes, it's everybody that's a Carole Baker fan knows the story behind that song and how I wrote it. But for those who don't know the story, I was singing at a bar in Whitby, Ontario, and this gentleman was sitting there and just watching the band. So, you get a feeling when you're an entertainer that when you're looking at the audience, who's a musician or a singer or something, just by the way you look at the band. So I went and I talked to this gentleman. I watched him, and we'll say his name's Joe. I've come to know him very well since then. And had a chat with him, and he just made a comment to me about his life and how he was a musician. And I asked him to get up and play with the band, and he couldn't. Because he was an alcoholic, and it just affected his life, so he gave up music. And then he made a comment, one is one too many. I recall that he said a million's not enough, or a hundredth's not enough. I think it was a hundredth's not enough. And he thinks he said 1,000, but it doesn't matter. But I remember when I went to my room and I started writing this song, I remembered him saying 100, and it didn't come off my tongue right when I started to sing it, but the word thousand sounded so great. So I finished writing the song. I knew nothing about alcoholism. I just knew that that man was so believable and so real, and I knew that his story had to be told. So I told his story from my point of view with the little bit of information that I had. And you are right. I mean, it's touched lives all over the world. It doesn't matter where I go and perform. That is the one song that everybody comes. So I have people in tears who will put their arms around me and say, "You have no idea. That song saved my life."
Oh,
and
my
that,
goodness.
To me, it doesn't matter if I never do anything in my life again. If I've helped somebody in writing it by writing a song that I believe God inspired, and my friend Joe, it's just amazing.
What a great purpose for a song. I mean, some songs are ones we love and we sing along to, and maybe they're a bit lighter, but to have a song like this, especially which fits country music, I mean, that's what country music does best, stories about real life and stories that can really inspire others and make them turn their lives around. So I think it's amazing that you were able to write that song.
Yeah, like you say, the song is like a dark song in many ways. But as we are in life, I think everybody's like that. We all want a happy ending. When we watch a movie or hear a song or whatever, we want a happy ending. And that song has a happy ending. It shows that when you're in your depth of darkness or whatever, there can be a happy ending. You just have to look for it. And when you find it, you can't expect it just to fall in your lap. You have to work at making that ending a positive ending and maintain it, because nothing is easy in life. Life is a very difficult process, and we have to look at it as such. It's the same as going to school. You start school, and it gets harder every year, but the harder it gets, the harder you work, and I think it's the same thing with life.
Now let's turn back in time to Port Medway. You were the youngest of six kids. What was that like growing up in that time and in Nova Scotia? And also, when did music come into play for you, Carol?
Not long after. I was a preemie baby, so they took me home to Port Medway. My mom used to say, because we had a wood stove, so they opened the oven door, and they put me on the door of the oven to keep me warm because I was born as a premature child, born in a very poor family in Port Medway. Had no idea we were poor. Because I think most of the people that were there were in the same position that we were. So being poor is a state of mind. You can be rich and be poor in spirit and heart. So for me, knowing back now, I was not poor. I was probably richer then than I am today. I grew up in a musical family. My father was a fiddle player. He sang.
Right.
He loved Hank Snow. His brother, my Uncle Ira, the whole family were very, very talented. I never sang really by myself as a child. I used to sing harmony with the family, but never really was involved with what they did. It wasn't until the Beatles came along. And then all of a sudden, a light bulb, it just literally went off in my head, and I thought, oh, my gosh, this is the best music I've ever heard. And that was my introduction to music. I used to pretend I was Paul McCartney. Can you imagine that?
That's hilarious.
I slap on a guitar. I knew he was left-handed, so I never played left-handed because I'm right-handed. But I throw a guitar over my shoulder, and I pretend I was Paul McCartney. And I'd watch myself in the mirror, and I tried to imitate him and pretend he was watching me. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but that's the absolute truth. And I think the more you play out something in your mind, the more realistic it becomes, even though you don't know it's going to happen. And there all of a sudden I was on a stage. And my aspirations, although I never dreamed to be a star or anything like that, just loving music and being able to do it from the time of being a Beatle fan was just incredible. I don't know why it happened. I really don't, other than God meant it to.
Yeah, exactly. And that fateful night at the Halton Hotel, as I talked about off the top, in Oakville, where you had a chance to get up and sing, and I guess that got the ball rolling. That really started you on the path.
Oh, that was something, I'll tell you. Gosh. I mean, I had played guitar and sang at some house parties and things like that we had. Like, we lived in a little apartment, a very, very small apartment complex, and it was my husband John and I, John and Carol, and across the road, well, not across the road, literally across the hall, there was another John and Carol, and to the right of us in the next apartment was Gary and Carol. So there were three Carols, and we all went to this bar, and I was the youngest one of the bunch. And we went to the Halton in Oakville, and I was scared to death. I was underage, and so they told me to pile on the makeup, which I did, and went in and never even got asked for my age or anything. And sure enough, my girlfriend, Carol Babcock, her name was, she told the band, you got to get my friend up to sing. You know, she's good. I had no idea she'd done this. Next thing I hear my name being called and I go up, I knew no country music. I knew Stand By Your Man and the whole way through. That was the one song I knew the whole way through.
Okay.
So I sang that song with the band that night. And I got a nice reaction from the audience. My knees were shaking and everything. And it wasn't even a band. I shouldn't say a band because it was two guys, Jerry Wells and Wayne Mack. With the two guys. So they asked me to join them to work on the weekends, and I worked with them for a while, but knew no country music. So I was singing, like, rock and roll stuff, you know, Beatles stuff I was doing, and I was doing Wilson Pickett, Midnight Hour, all kinds of songs like that.
Yeah.
So they said, if you don't learn any country, we're going to have to let you go. I said, that's okay, because I have a day job. I worked as a cashier in Loblaws grocery store, so they fired me.
Oh my goodness.
The night they fired me, there was a guy in the audience who asked me to do a live radio show in near Stouffville in the Markham area.
Right.
And I did it, and it was a guy in the audience that night who asked me to make a record, and I said no. And he kept coming back, and finally I said, talk to my husband. And John said yes, and that's where it all began and ended, really. The rest is history, basically.
Yeah, that's so amazing that those things happen, and yet you went on to make records despite, you know, you kind of saying no at first. And an early hit in 1970s for you, in the early 70s, Memories of Home. How did you feel recording that song and having your first song out of radio, Carol?
I had no desire to even have it played on radio. I have to be 100% honest.
Really?
I went, yes. I mean, that's the truth. I'm not going to say something that's not true. We went to Thunder Bay, and we recorded that song. I thought that when we went there that there would be a band already waiting and everything. There was nothing there. I ended up, my electric guitar, I played rhythm as an electric guitar on the session. And we had no piano at the time. So they said, that's okay, we'll just do it and we add the piano after. Well, we were not tuned to standard. So when they brought a piano in, they could not add the piano because we were not tuned to piano standard. So
okay.
They had to put an organ, bring an organ in, where they could tune the organ to the track. So here I was doing a country song, Memories of Home, with a Hammond organ in the background. Yeah, she's a country girl, all right. So it got played on radio. I never even stayed around at the recording studio for the mix. We had wanted to go to Nova Scotia for holidays. It was my husband's holidays and mine, but we kind of went the other way to Thunder Bay. So they said, aren't you going to stay for the mix? I said, nope, I'm going home for holidays. So as soon as I finished playing the guitar and doing my vocals, we took off to Nova Scotia. I never heard anything about the song again till one day we were driving in the car and heard it on the radio, and I go, that's me! Couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe I was being played on the radio. Still can't believe it.
Yeah, to hear your song on the radio, I'm sure that never got never grew old over the years, right? Every time you heard one of your songs for the first time or the 10th time, it was exciting.
Still exciting to this day. The only difference is now, and it's really funny, I started when there was no Canadian content, when they did not play Canadian performers. I mean, there were just a handful, Gordon Lightfoot, Anne Murray, who else was around at that time? You probably know more than I do who was around, but there were very, very few Canadians being played on radio. So, I mean, there was no Canadian content. So even to be getting your record played on the radio then was amazing. But here I am now, all these years later, and the girl who grew up loving the Beatles ended up singing classic country, and it's so many years later, and very few radio stations play classic country. So I'm not getting the airplay that I got in the days when my music was not even really considered country. So it's quite mind-boggling, I find it. I try to figure it out in my mind, and I can't.
It is pretty confusing, the styles that come and go. And as you said, today we don't hear a lot of or much of classic country, what we call that now on country radio. It's very modern. I remember in the days of CFGM, as we were talking before we came on the air, 640 CFGM, and of course there was 820 CHAM, and those were days when your records were played all the time, and so many people got to know your music then.
Yes. It was a different lifestyle even for performers back then, Dave, because I remember when CFGM was the big radio station, the big country station, and artists got very, very involved with the announcers, you know, the DJs. We were all buddies, CFGM had like a hockey team called the Bullshooters, and I went everywhere with them on the bus. You know, my husband John and I, wherever they played hockey, and I'd scream so hard for the Bullshooters, and the next day at night I might have a concert, and I'd be so hoarse I could barely sing. But I had a personal relationship with all the disc jockeys then. And even to this day, disc jockeys that I run into, we can sit down and talk like just about nothing, but it means something. I don't think artists have that kind of relationship. A one-on-one personal relationship like we were fortunate enough to have.
That is pretty amazing to have that. It connects. I mean, they're playing your music, so it's great to have that friendship. And they know you better. You know, they can talk about you more, of course, and relay stories. I think that's great.
But sometimes they tell stories I didn't want told, though.
That's the downside.
That was like that was YouTube of then, you know what I mean?
That's right.
On the radio. Guess where we were last night with Carol Baker.
That's
hilarious. It was fun.
Radio,
it was always fun.
was the YouTube of the day. And now, of course, we'll encourage people listening to go to YouTube. I'm sure many of them have. But anybody who hasn't, I mean, just punch in Carol Baker. And look, you know, with Conway Twitty, with Hank Snow, songs you're doing on your own, of course, there's there's some good videos there, good live performances. So people can capture that again by going to YouTube. I want to play a song now, Carol, and then we're going to come back and talk about Conway and Hank Snow and get into some great memories. But the first one I want to play now is Why I Had to Pass This Way. This is a beautiful song. It's a great country song with a story to it. What can you tell us about it?
This song was written by my late manager, record producer, famed record producer, Don Grashy, who also produced Loretta Lynn in her early career. He had this song in his mind, the words. He was not a singer. So he brought it to me, and he said, what do you think of this? And he kind of hummed away. And I said, Don, I said, the song is wonderful. It's an absolutely wonderful song. I think I can work with it and make it into something special. So I did, and we went to Nashville and recorded it, and it became a number one record for me.
It's a beautiful song. We're going to share it now and come back. Lots more with Carol Baker. Right now, this is Carol and Why I Had to Pass This Way on In the Country.
In the stillness of the morning, when the dew is on the green grass and the birds are singing sweetly in the trees, lovers walking, hear the sweet words that they're talking, and feel the teardrops rolling down my cheeks. But it's just the morning after, and the year is 21, and it seems like it was only yesterday. The hurt is more this morning as my mind. Sitting here just thinking, and I'm wondering why it ever had to end. I know we shared some good times, and our love had so much meaning. How could the years make sweethearts end up friends? Now the sun is slowly fading, and I'm sitting here reflecting, but the answer to my question's not inside. I guess there was a reason for our love to lose its meaning, but time I thought would someday make things right. 'Cause it's just the morning after, and the year is 21, and it's
And that is Carol Baker with her wonderful song, Why I Had to Pass This Way. Beautiful singing there, Carol.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's a great song.
It is, yeah. It's great to hear these classic sounding country songs again.
Yes, and you know what's funny, as I was listening to that song, because I've not heard it in years, literally, I was listening to Lloyd Green's steel playing and how great a steel guitarist he is. He's not one of those musicians that has to have his instrument heard above the singer. Everything he does is a complimentary thing. And he always told me, I use my steel guitar like a voice, and I'm going to make a special sound for you, and it will be called the Carol Baker sound. And I listened to some of the inflections and the slides he did while I was listening to the song, when I said, now the sunrise is approaching, and he took a steel guitar and he was sliding it up. as if the sun is coming up. And then now the sun is slowly fading, and I heard the steel come sliding down. And it was those things when I was in the recording studio that just, it just inspired me to be the best I possibly could be. I don't think musicians really realize how important they are to a singer, because the better they play and the more inspired they are, the more they inspire a singer.
Wow.
I've been so lucky to have great musicians work with me for so many years.
That is such a great thing to say and to hear, because, as you say, a lot of musicians can be in the background, and as music fans, we tend to, you know, focus on the singer. But as you said, the musicians really make a record and add little touches, as you just pointed out there, that,
yes,
that we hear. Sometimes it's subtle, but it makes a difference in the record.
Well, where it makes a difference, and I can only speak for me, is what it did to me,
yeah,
how it affected me and how it made me sing. And I even find the same thing happened on stage over the years at working with different musicians. There are certain musicians that you have to make play.
Okay.
That's hard to understand, but you have to work so hard that you have to make them play. And then there's
right,
other musicians that are so great at what they do that they make me sing. And it's an incredible marriage. I call that, if anybody could ever find a real marriage like that in life, that's the perfect marriage. The marriage between musician and vocalist, that they make each other be their best at all times.
Wow, I love that that way you put that, Carol. That's great. Let's turn to some stories about artists that you've worked with over the years, country legends that we know and love. And Conway Twitty was one of my favorites. And I grew up listening to his music, bought his albums, and what a great voice. And he seemed like a great guy. You worked with him a lot and were good friends with him. What can you tell us about your time with Conway?
First of all, though, I don't think there'll ever be another person like Conway. In every way, he was a simple man, a shy man, kind, giving almost to a fault. My meeting him was by accident. I recorded his song, I've Never Been This, well, his was You've Never Been This Far Before, and I took it and put it in the first person to I've Never
right,
Been This Far Before, and
yeah,
it was such a huge hit for me. So when he came to Canada to tour, he wanted me to be on the tour with him. And he specifically said, can we do the song as a duet? And for him to ask me to do that, like, I just was beside myself. And
no
I couldn't talk. You know, when you meet somebody like that, you can't talk. So you rely on your representatives to speak for you, and they do. And they do it well. And Conway and I, night after night, would go on stage and we would do that song together and tear the place down. And he would send me songs all through the years that he had written, or songs from his publishing company that he thought was good for me. And I recorded a few of them. They went on my albums, but were never released as singles, although I think some of them should have been. There's one called It's Snowing Outside. I think that is a monster hit. And, I can't think of the other one off the top of my head, but it was a great song as well. Now, this is a very interesting story. The last time that we worked together was in Nashville when I did my television special from Nashville.
Right.
And he came to me after we had taped It's Only Make Believe on the television show. And he said, Carol, he said, would you consider recording Linda On My Mind? And I said, what? Are you kidding me? He says, no, I'm not. He said, I've rewritten the song for you. And I said, come on. He said, no, I'm serious. He said, I'm going to send it to you. I still have the tape.
My goodness.
The rewritten song of
right,
Conway, the way it was written with Linda On My Mind. And I never had the guts to do it. I just never, I thought, oh gosh, I can't do this. This is just so Conway. Like, and I never really had the courage to go out and record the song. So I never did. But this year I'm doing a show called Carol Baker's Country Classics, as well as my Thanks for the Memories tour in different cities where I've not performed it. And I might surprise some people.
That would be awesome.
I'm not going to say I'm going to do it for sure, but there could be a surprise there. The song is a tremendous song. I've discussed it with my husband, John, about doing it and the rewritten version. And John goes, I don't think it'll work because people will have Conway's version and the lyrics of his version so much in their mind. Get it. So just out of curiosity, I thought, I'm going to see if anybody else has cut the song. Because it was written so well for a female. I went on YouTube, and guess what? I found it.
Oh, did you?
Somebody's
recorded
it. His daughter. His daughter.
Oh, his, yeah, Conway's daughter?
His daughter, Kathy, did a version of it, of the one that Conway wrote for me. So there it is. It's on YouTube. It's been done by her. It's a nice version, but after listening to the female side of it, I definitely do believe it's a Conway Twitty song. And let's just leave it there.
Leave it there. Yeah, he did it so well.
It's
such
a fun
song
to sing, though. I gotta say, it's a fun song to sing.
Can you let us in, Carol, on the title when a female sings it, when you'd be singing it? So instead of Linda on my mind, who is on the lady's mind?
It is. It's the same words. Linda on my mind.
So
I'll tell you how the original lyrics, like I have the lyrics as well, and they go, I'm lying here. Now I'm lying here with Linda on my mind, trying to find a way to say, I know she's not your kind. You may not understand, but I'll keep trying as I lay here beside you with Linda on my mind. So the wife is lying beside the husband. She knows he's thinking about his lover.
Right.
And she wants to be able to tell him what this woman is all about. And she does. There's a line in the song where she says that she knows what kind of woman Linda is. That someone has to leave, meaning either Linda or her. She goes, someone has to leave, and I'm not going to go. It's just so incredibly written.
Yeah.
I mean, when I rewrote I've Never Been This Far Before, it was simple. But this was really well thought out to have been written in such a way. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he had some help in rewriting it from a woman's point of view. But He said, this is a rewrite for you, Carol, if you're interested, and I just never did it.
That's amazing. It's a pretty clever rewrite. I was thinking in my mind that it was, you know, Larry on my mind, and it just that's all that would be changed. But you took it a whole other way.
Yeah, that's why my husband John said it would be confusing, because it starts out with, now I'm lying here with Linda on my mind.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
He also, there was another little story, although it's not a song that he wrote. It's a song that's called, do you remember that song? There's going to be a heartache tonight, a heartache tonight. That song originally was sent to me to record.
Oh, really?
And the gentleman who wrote the song had written other songs for me, and I recorded one and had a number one record with it. And he said, he sent it to my manager and said, I've written this song for Carol. And he said, I think it's going to be a big song for her. I never even got to hear the song until after Conway had recorded it. And I was in Nashville, and the songwriter came up to me and said, so you didn't like the song? He said, you made a mistake. I said, what are you talking about? And then he told me, he said, well, Conway recorded the song. I said, I still don't know what you're talking about. And then he played the song. I said, I never heard it. So the song really never got to my ears. It went to the producers. They listened, thought it wasn't a Carol Baker song, so I didn't get to do it.
Oh, my goodness, isn't that?
Yeah.
Wow. That's,
but he did it. He had a huge hit. I think it was also recorded by a rock, some rock artists as well.
Yeah, the Eagles had a version of it, I think, prior to Conway. I'm not sure.
You are correct.
But it was the Eagles.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that amazing? Like amazing stories.
Oh, I love stories like that. And, I love to hear either stories that were about songs that were passed on and then went on to be a hit, you know, songs somebody let go. In that case, you didn't even get a chance to hear it. I want to turn, just for the sake of time, we've got a full hour, but we got so much to cover. Hey, what about Hank Snow? Earlier you were talking about how your family, I think your father was a Hank Snow fan, and years later, here you are singing with Hank.
Yes. Hank Snow was like the celebrity in our home. My father adored him. He sang Hank Williams. I loved Hank Williams. I love Hank Snow, but I was a huge Hank Williams fan. My dad was a huge Hank Snow fan. And I can remember all the time growing up listening to my dad. And if I close my eyes, I can hear him. And he had a favorite Hank Snow song. It was called I've Got a Tangled Mind.
Okay.
Do you recall that song?
I vaguely do remember that one. I know a lot of his songs.
Got a tangled mind.
Oh.
I've got a broken heart. An incredible song. And
beautiful.
My dad sang it all the time. And
yeah.
I don't know if Hank wrote it or not, but it's the one Hank Snow song that I always remember. And I never thought I'd meet him. When I was a young girl, he did a concert in Bridgewater in the arena. And it was in the fall, if I'm not mistaken, the spring or the fall, and it was an extremely foggy night, and my Aunt Irene was driving the car, and they took me along. My sisters and everybody took me along, and I was just this little girl. And the fog was so thick, and I know this sounds like a fisherman's story, but it's true. If you sat on the front of the car, you could have cut the fog with the knife.
Right.
So we get to the arena in Bridgewater, and there is Hank Snow in all his glory and all these jeweled costumes and his band looking all like that. And I was so short and so small. And some man, I don't know who he was, picked me up so I could watch. And I don't remember a thing he sang. I don't remember anything about the show except the costumes and how sparkly they were. I couldn't get over that. And so that was my first introduction to Hank Snow. And then my father, unfortunately, passed away just months after I got married in 1968. He never got to see me sing, you know.
Oh my goodness.
Was a sad part my life for sure, that my dad never got to see me sing. And now I'm getting choked up, but I can only imagine if he'd have been alive and been in Nashville to see me singing with my own television special and Hank Snow right there, me interviewing him and then him singing with me. I can't imagine what that would have been like for my father. Probably better for my dad than me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he would have been so proud, of course, and just so moved. How many people get to grow up and sing with their heroes, people that they love. And on YouTube, people have to check this out, the video of you. You're singing I'm Moving On with Hank, and it's a lot of fun, and you're each doing verses of it, and that's a great classic country song.
Yes, it is. And we also did a duet of I've Been Everywhere. That is just hysterical, because when we finished it, I couldn't stop laughing. I mean, I laugh sometimes, and when I laugh, I just laugh, and I've got a very hearty laugh. And they left it in what he said during the videotaping of the special. He pointed at me, he looked at me, he goes, she goes on and on and on. And they left it in, and it was, they went to commercial with me still giggling. It was so funny and so wonderful. And you know, Dave, he came to my show at the Grand Ole Opry. It was his birthday, and he had made plans for his birthday, and my husband John said, are you going to go see Carol taping her television special at the Opry? He said, when is that? And so John told him, and he said, well, we've made plans for my birthday. No, I'm going to change and I'm going to go, he said.
Wow.
And so he came to the Opry, and he didn't know how to get in the front because he'd never been in the audience. He'd only ever been backstage.
Oh, my goodness, right.
Yes, so somebody had to take him and bring him to the front, and he sat right in the very front, of course, and it was so wonderful to stand there and sing in front of this incredible man that grew, was born 15 miles from where I was born. Amazing.
That is an amazing story. Wow. Loved hearing that. Want to share a song and then come back. I want to talk about some of the artists that you may have influenced over the years, people who heard your sound, and if you have met any of them, and just some of your thoughts on some of the female country singers. We're going to play the song we talked about earlier in the show, Carol, One Is One Too Many and A Thousand's Not Enough. And you told the great story behind this. Is this one of those songs, I know you still perform it, that still moves you when you sing it? You still feel that story about Joe?
Always. It'll never get old. Never get old.
Wow. Let's share it now. This is a great song, and this sort of takes us back to what classic country songs are all about. Carol Baker, One Is One Too Many on In the Country. The one and only Carol Baker, and she is my guest, and that song is One Is One Too Many, one of her great classic songs. And I should let you know, you can head to iTunes. There are a bunch of Carol Baker songs there for you to purchase. You can buy whole albums or songs, and you'll be able to go back with those great memories. Carol, really enjoyed listening to that. That is when a country song really told a story.
Yes. There's not a lot of country songs that tell stories in such a fashion anymore.
Yeah.
It's more about the commercial aspect of the song than it used to be.
Right.
Story songs were very popular, I think, back in the 70s and the 80s. When I hear that song, I listen to the innocence in my voice. And because I don't listen to my music, So I only hear myself on stage, and my voice has changed over
sure.
the years. It's become more mature. I hear a lot of vibrato in my voice that I've lost. I wish now I had some of that back. It's like a little innocence that is very, very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Almost
right.
a childlike quality, and sometimes I wish I had some of that back. But we grow older, and we grow wiser, and I deliver it, I think, with a little bit of bit more in a mature way now.
Right. That's so true. Songs that singers sing maybe at a stage when they hadn't gone through it, although in this case you had, but the more mature you get and the more of life you go through, especially with country songs, you can deliver them with more
yes.
honesty, right, or more depth.
Well, the other thing for me, too, is now when I sing the song, I have actually met people in my life who have been friends who have been afflicted with the disease of alcoholism.
Right. Right.
And it is a disease. It wasn't a person I met in a bar only one time and wrote a song. And I see how they manage their lives and how they're able to work and live a life and be normal
yeah.
at the things that they do. But when they're under the influence, become someone totally different. So when I sing this song now, I can sing it and feel it in a whole different way because I've experienced
yeah.
what it does, you know?
Yeah.
And
wow.
you know, I think about, too, even with the band, I have such a good band with me. I've always had good musicians, but I've always had great musicians. I shouldn't say good. I've always been fortunate enough in all of my Baker Street bands, and there's only been really two of them. That have been long-lasting Baker Street bands, and they've all been great, from the very original Baker Street to John Park Wheeler, Al Bragg, Gilles Rayom, who we called Satch, and Chief Yon Drums, who's no longer with us, and Ted Giroux, who used to be a rock piano player but ended up playing piano for me, to the guys that I have now. You know, I have J.K. Gully on lead guitar,
oh, yeah.
and Al Briscoe on steel, and Ron McLean is playing bass for me now because my regular bass player, Greg Smith, is gone. He's over in the Abu Dhabi area with his wife, and my drummer, Ed Hamm. And, you know, I've just had such great musicians to work with. There's been so many steel players, I can't even count them. They've all been wonderful.
Wow.
To have the opportunity to work with great musicians all the time just makes me have to work so hard and be the best I can be. And to go on stage and sing a song like One Is One Too Many, night after night, and even though they're playing it, they think, the same way every night, I
right.
hear something different
oh, wow.
every night that they play it.
Definitely.
That's what makes them great.
That wow, that's great. It keeps it fresh for you. It shows their talent, and it's so great, Carol, that you can get on stage and it still feels new to you, and you still get excited about it.
That's the thing I do the most. If I had to choose, other than my family, my husband, my daughter and her husband, and my two amazing grandchildren, Anthony and Jordan, they're the joys of my life. Other than that, I have to say the thing that takes me away and takes me to a different place where I love all of my troubles away is on stage. I get in a place and a space and a moment with my fans who are the heartbeat of my music that
yeah.
that I'm just so blessed to be able to be in the presence of my fans. You know, they think of it the opposite. They think of, oh, I'm so glad to be in your presence. They don't have a clue what they do for me.
That's so amazing to hear. So amazing.
It's amazing to be able to experience it. It truly is, Dave.
I'll bet. Wow, I'll bet, Carol. That is so great that you feel that way and that just I love that relationship with you and your fans, and just how much you appreciate each other. And I know your fans are very dedicated and passionate. I wanted to take a moment to talk about some of the female artists that maybe you influenced over the years when they were growing up, you know, in that era in the late 70s, 80s, when your music was out, and I'm sure they heard you on country radio and those who went on to become country singers. Have you had stories about that? And who are some of the artists, the Canadian female singers over the years that you've particularly enjoyed?
I like all of them for different reasons. You know, there's so many great Canadian singers and performers out there. Doesn't matter if they're female or male. I mean, there's just so many of them. But I never look at an artist as being Canadian or American. I just look at how does it sound. I mean, are they moving me? Is the hair standing up on my arms? Do I have a choke in my throat when you feel like you're going to cry and you keep swallowing to not cry? If a singer can do that to me, I don't care if it's a country singer or a pop singer or what. If a singer can do that to me, then they're great. I'm not one of these people that goes after the next big thing, because the next big thing can be here today and gone tomorrow.
Yeah, so true.
So for me, it's all about the song first. If the song is great, touches me, and there's a good enough singer to come along and understand how great that song is, and they can make it their own, then that's what brings it all home to me.
Wow.
I don't know that I've inspired anybody. I can't tell you that honestly. I don't know if any singers that have ever said to me that you've inspired me, because to be absolutely honest, no one has ever told me that, except for when I was in England. There were quite a few performers in England that had said to me, you inspired me, but I've not had say that to me. So that's okay. I don't have a problem with that. They're just into something different, perhaps, than what I did.
Yeah.
And that's what makes music great. There's something for everybody.
Exactly. And sometimes you don't always hear the stories back. You don't know how many lives you've touched or who you've influenced, because the stories, you know, don't always get back to us. I want to remind our listeners, iTunes is a great place to get your music, Carol. Is there a place they can contact you? You're on Facebook, of course, and people can get in touch with you there. Is there an email address so somebody could stay in touch with you or find out when your next concert is?
The best way for people to find out where all my concerts are is to go to Facebook. Look me up. I'm really active on Facebook. I love Facebook. I mean, I've maxed out how many people I'm allowed to have now. So I've got this other one, Carol Baker, Canadian Music Legend, where people can go and post things on my page there, and I get so many messages, even if they're not able to be befriended by me because I messed out, they can still message me on Facebook, and they do, and I answer everybody personally, Dave. And people say to me, okay, so who's your person that's doing all this for you? I don't have one. First of all, I can't afford one. They charge a lot of money, and I mean, I'm on the retirement backside of my life, so I can't afford that. And so I do it myself, but to be honest with you, I love it. I love hearing what they have to say to me. I love being able to chat right back to them. Sometimes they tell me stories about sadness in their life, and they want me to pray for them. And I'll pray my heart out, and sometimes good comes of it, not always. And they will say to me, my prayer didn't come true, and I will say, well, sometimes what we want is not always best for us. And it's just like I feel like they're my best friends. I don't know them.
That's a great feeling.
Yeah, and what I've asked a lot of them to do, and I'm still asking, is that anybody that goes to my concerts, that they email me, or Facebook me, message me, and let me know what concerts you're going to be at, because I put their name in a journal. And I mention people on stage that come to my shows. I'll do shout-outs. So-and-so's here, so-and-so's here. They came all the way from or whatever. And They're just my friends. Sometimes my fans are my biggest friends. It's an incredible feeling. I can't explain it. It's wonderful.
No, I love it. That sounds great, a great relationship to have. Do you have any shows coming up in Ontario by any chance, Carol, in the foreseeable
Not
future?
In Ontario, but at the end of April, I'm headed toward the Maritimes. I'll be in St. John, New Brunswick at the Imperial Theater, April the 29th. And I'll be in Miramichi, April the 30th at the, I won't say it right because it's French, but I think it's Carrefour Beausoleil School Theater.
Sounds good to me. Yeah.
And then May 2nd, I'm in Summerside at the Harborfront Theater, PEI.
Right.
And May 4th, I'm in Truro. But I've had some bad luck happen. All these concerts were booked beforehand, and I found out through the grapevine that Toby Keith has decided he's going to do the same place as I'm doing, like 2 days after me. So
oh, my goodness.
That's huge competition.
Competition. Yeah, he's a pretty big artist. Luck of the draw, I guess. But you've got your fans, and they'll come out in droves for sure. Carol, this has been such a pleasure spending this time. I'm so glad we had a chance to share a couple songs and a bit of a medley off the top. And again, I'll remind our listeners that iTunes is the place to go. They can get your music there. And to go to YouTube for sure and punch in Carol Baker, and there's duets with Conway Twitty, Hank Snow, and you doing your own stuff. Hank Williams, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. Tons of great music. Carol, it has been such a pleasure spending this time with you.
Thank you. They also can Facebook me, and I might be able to get them in touch with somebody who can find music for them that they've not been able to get, because there's not a lot of it in the stores. I just recently, yesterday, just to be absolutely honest with you, found out there's a CD out there on the market of one of my albums that I didn't even know was available. So I'm looking into getting it for myself.
For yourself. That's awesome. Carol, thank you so much. It has been great. I've really enjoyed the time.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it, too.
My guest has been Canadian country singer, entertainer, and legend, Carol Baker. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.